Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
I'm Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense. I want to thank you for participating in this stand down, and I thank your leadership for supporting this important initiative. And let me say right at the outset that there is not a single doubt in my mind that you take seriously your oath to the Constitution, and that you serve this country with honor and dignity and character, and that you believe in and uphold our core values each and every day.
So this is Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin speaking in a video released to the Department of Defense yesterday. Maybe it's not yesterday. It was a couple days ago. But anyway, talking about the stand down in the military-wide, to root out extremism in the ranks. And he says, look, this is really, really bad stuff. We need to deal with this. It tears at the fabric of who we are. And it's definitely a concern that there might be members of the military who are either already aligned with extremist ideology or prone to being aligned with extremist ideology.
You know, it concerns me to think that anyone wearing the uniform of a soldier or a sailor, an airman, marine, or guardian, or coast guardsman would espouse these sorts of beliefs, let alone act on them. But they do. Some of them still do. We've got to be better than
that. Interesting that he included Guardian. Good for him. Appropriate to include the Space Force in there. So one of the elements of this stand down, and the Navy has actually been one of the first to release any of its guidelines for this, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But one of the elements of this is to revisit the oath and to redeclare your oath.
I want you to revisit the oath that you took when you joined the military and when you re-enlisted or got promoted. Read those words again. Consider what they really mean. And think about the promise that you made to yourselves and to your teammates and to your fellow citizens.
So it's meant to be, in part, a refocus on what the oath means to protect the country. And anyway, the guide for the Navy indicates, the guidance that was issued for the Navy indicates that, for example, vandalizing government property and storming a police barrier is not an exercise of First Amendment rights. And understanding that we support and defend the Constitution of the United States, not a supervisor, political appointee, or person occupying a political office. That you serve the country, the Constitution, not the person, not ever. And that, you know, retaking the... I didn't know exactly what this would involve. I remember talking to Captain Tim Kinsel, he's the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, about what he thought this might involve and, you know, kind of why it's useful to think about the role of the military. And, you know, career service officers and many other people think deeply about what it means to serve in the military and, you know, what it is and what it is not. And what is the significance of understanding your role in the military? And when your, let's say, personal views, though you are perfectly entitled to hold them, do not play any role in you being a military member. And that those are really, you know, different functions. And it's not a good comparison, but it's the one that pops to mind. If you're a lawyer, you know, and you think that your client is guilty, you're still obligated to provide him as good a defense as he's entitled to. And, you know, I know it's not the best analogy, but if you're in the military, if you disagree with a decision or even disagree vehemently with what's going on, that does not matter. You are an instrument of the Constitution itself, right? You are supposed to serve at the direction of the elected official, the civilian oversight elected official, the president of the United States, and, you know, defend the Constitution. And so he goes, you know, again, Lloyd Austin is giving out this message, and he's saying, look, we want you to get together with your superiors and talk to them about things that you might have seen, things you might have heard, and, you know, ways that we can fight this.
I also want you to share with your leadership your own personal experiences with encountering extremists and extremist ideology in the military, should you have any. And I want your leadership to listen to those stories. And I want them to listen to any ideas that you might have to help us stamp out of the ranks the dangerous conduct that this ideology inspires.
So I am always cautious expressing my opinions of military things because I never served. I mean, we had family served, obviously, and I love the military, but I'm just, you know, I'm always cautious about too strong of an opinion about things that are not my occupation or my experience or, you know, just I understand that I'm a misstep and I don't want to be that guy. So my question is, especially if you're a member of the military, what do you think about this impending stand down? There is a part of me that thinks this is probably a very good idea. And there is also a part of me that thinks this seems so silly. I just be honest, that's my own reaction. There's a part of me that thinks having members of the military think deeply about their commitments is good. And then there's another part of me that's like, you think they don't already? It's kind of insulting, you know? And to think that if you had somebody prone to extremism, that sitting them in a classroom to talk about the nature of their duty and to re-say the oath as if somebody really committed to being a subversive operative within the military wouldn't just lie. You know, what is this really going to accomplish? Will this produce better cohesion and clarity and unity? Or will this just be another thing that the sailors and the soldiers, come on, man, you know, like just gripe about? And I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. And I'm cautious to have too much strong an opinion because I'm a civilian. But I'm a little skeptical. I probably lean in that direction. But I'm curious to hear what you think. 437-1620, 437-1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And starting with the front gate of NAS Pensacola, it is continuing to back up this morning. It looks like we're backed up around the area of the Wings and Things sewing. And the trend normally has been it'll just continue to back up as we go throughout the next hour. So just be ready to pack your patience. Gulf Beach Highway, Blue Angel Parkway, Highway 98 on the west side of Pensacola, all checking in clear, along with 9 Mile Road and Pine Forest Road, I-10, I-110, reporting no delays. And Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge also checking in clear. Now if that changes, you can let me know at 2626-111. I'm Davis Allen with you. Traffic on the fives.
You know that feeling? You're driving your car, going down the road, everything's fine, and then a sound. Or something just doesn't feel quite right. Or something odd, you know, doesn't seem to work the way it used to, and then it goes away, or it doesn't. You know, those kind of like, hey, something's up here, but I'm not quite sure what it is. I don't know how big of a deal it is. I don't know if it's putting my life at risk. I don't know if it's a tiny little maintenance issue or nothing at all. Well, that's the reason why you need a good mechanic. That's the reason why you need a good shop where you can take it to and ask them, hey, here's what I'm observing, and I just need to know, is this a maintenance issue? Is this a nothing? Is this going to be a problem in 6 months? Is it a problem I got to fix it right now? Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. This is the kind of stuff that they live for, is being able to help you figure that out. And now, okay, they'll take care of anybody for any vehicle, but they particularly focus on diesel trucks and sort of high-end imports, you know, things that you might otherwise take over to Mobile to get fixed, but they don't really think you ought to do that because it's a long drive and it's extra money, and why not just do it locally? Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. If you've got a question, they've got an answer. You can go on, you can just visit them in person, or you can go online to carclinicservice.com. I didn't even catch what the actual story was about, but we always have Channel 3 and Fox News and the weather up in here just to kind of keep an eye on what's going on in the world. And the Channel 3, they were doing some story on small business, and there's this, I don't know how to describe her, but just a food truck owner, I think. And she's, you know, middle-aged black lady, okay, and she's got a Fight Club shirt on. And I love Jesus mask on. I love it. Just love this lady. I want to be friends with her. She's adorable. 621 on News Radio. Because, I mean, you can be a study in contrast. It's okay. I know I am. 621 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. So question of the morning, question of the moment anyway, I should say, is the flags being lowered to half staff for Rush Limbaugh. Well, clearly within the governor's legal authority, the statute specifically provides for prominent citizens. And so, you know, there's no question of whether he is allowed to do this. But now Nikki Fried, commissioner for agriculture, obviously running for governor, some mayors who are also Democrats are objecting and saying he was controversial and polarizing and anti-gay and all the other stuff. Do you think it's a good idea to have the flags lowered for him in honor of him? I don't think you can overstate. I told you this one the day after he died, and we talked about it at Central. I don't think you can overstate his significance for the conservative cause in the last 30 years. Obviously controversial, but we lower the flags for other controversial figures. Now, typically, it's the people who are, you know, elected officials or significant appointees, Supreme Court, that kind of stuff. If you're in Congress, I think you get a day or maybe a day and a day after, something like that. Obviously not an elected official, but we have done it at other times for non-elected officials. I tend to think that it's fine. My only concern is I don't want to, if you're going to lower it for fallen police officers and fallen military and, you know, deceased elected officials, I don't want it to become a politicized thing. But again, if the governor has the authority to do it, you can either take this as a good thing to be done or as a thing that the governor is certainly authorized to do. Certainly he's authorized to do it. The question is whether it's a wise thing. And I know my own feelings about Rush are that the significance he had is hard to overstate. And so when somebody of that significance passes, doesn't bother me. 623 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Parts of Texas going to be nearly 80 degrees warmer today than they were just a week ago. Dallas will hit 75 this afternoon after falling to 2 below 0 last Tuesday. Waco and Abilene below zero a week ago. Also, they'll be in the upper 70s. Johnson & Johnson planning to distribute 20 million doses of its COVID-19 vaccine by late March with FDA approval. An FDA panel is set to meet Friday to consider emergency authorization for their vaccine. And I'm sorry, Andrew, just a second. let me, I have to try and get my helmet on here. Daft Punk calling it quits. The French electronic music duo hanging up their robot helmets after 28 years. Their publicist confirming the split gave no reason for the breakup.
I'm chuckling because I'm trying to picture you wearing the Daft Punk helmet with your hand up, bouncing, you know, at an event.
I was wild in the 90s.
I believe it.
Not really.
I believe that, too. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 624 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Going back to the question about having this stand down across the military to root out extremism, somebody texts in, it will promote division and possibly distrust. Most people today, including the military, have never actually read the Constitution. Boy, isn't that true? Just like Christians haven't read the Bible, which most of them haven't. They rely on what others are saying, and the Constitution says, and usually it is skewed interpretation, reflective viewpoint, and not what the Constitution actually says. And this notion, he goes on to say, that there are a bunch of right-wing extremists or supremacists running around the military is a lie that the woke, social justice warriors and the left keep pushing, and this is a way of sort of raising the level of distrust and side-eye that we give towards the military. See, I agree with that, too. It's kind of like an extension of the protests against the police. The more you can cast disrepute on the image of the military by saying it's necessary to have something like this, I don't like that implication either. And since it strikes me as not likely to be effective, likely to produce a certain perception of the military and within the military, it feels like an attack to me. It doesn't feel like a reinvigoration of the great fighting spirit of the American military forces. But again, that's me as an outsider talking. I'm curious if you're a military member or veteran and you have a view on this. Somebody else here says, I served 6 years as U.S. Navy CB. I left the Navy during the Clinton era. I understood that as a service member, I surrendered some of my rights and liberties to become a part of the military. That's true. And he says, I left because I did not want to forego those rights and liberties for an entire 20 years. 437-1620, 437-1620. Davis Allen, time for Traffic on the Fives.
And actually, speaking of our military, the NAS Pensacola front gate, it is still delayed. In fact, it's backing up all the way to Sunset Avenue now, so it appears that this delay will take about 15 to 20 minutes. Taking a look at the back gate of NAS Pensacola, it is checking in clear. Also, I-10 and I-110 showing no delays. Davis Highway, Bayou Boulevard, Scenic Highway, all these roadways checking in clear in Pensacola, while along Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge, both these roadways still checking in clear. That is the case for Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway as well. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
So at a certain point, you have to replace your car. I mean, we all know you can't keep one car forever. The question is, at what point are you right now? And if you've been driving on a car that you don't love before the bridge went away and your commute was 20 minutes, you put up with it. But might be that there's some things about that car that you put up with for a 20-minute drive and they just drive you crazy for an hour and a half or an hour as your commute around to Gulf Breeze and the beach happens. So if that's you, well, you shouldn't have to endure your car. You should at least not dislike it. Ideally, you kind of like it and enjoy getting in it to the point where you can go over Frontier and find a good new one. I mean, you know, 1, 2, 3 years old used cars and new to you, right? But the idea is real simple. You can get a car that you like instead of endure. And you might even be able to save money because even though the payment might be higher, the actual cost, because you're not repairing it all the time or having to put $1,000, you know, every 6 months or a year into it, you can actually save money by buying a different car. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. So we got a couple of texts in on the Rush Limbaugh question, whether it's appropriate for Governor DeSantis to, that's how he says it. I feel weird saying it that way, but that's how he says it, to fly the flags at half staff in honor of Rush Limbaugh when his funeral arrangements are announced. Somebody says on the Rush Limbaugh debate, no. If talk radio stations wish to on the day of his funeral, most definitely. Those are both answers in all caps. Somebody else says 100% absolutely. It's within the governor's authority to order flags statewide to be set at half staff. That's true. Like him or hate him, Rush Limbaugh was a titan in media, particularly AM talk radio. That's AM frequency, not morning, but you get the point. Absolutely appropriate, in my opinion, to the governor, if the governor authorized it to be to lower the flag to half staff to honor him. I would say it further. I'd say it's not his entertainment value or his, you know, wealth or his fame or anything like that. I think the reason DeSantis is doing this is because he believes, and I agree with him, that Rush Limbaugh was fierce advocate of the Constitution, of the American way of life, of the American political philosophy. And yes, conservatism, believing that conservatism is the true expression of that, but raising people's awareness of and belief in American principles and the structure of our government. I mean, you know, a civic hero, even though he didn't do everything right, obviously. But in that regard, that's the value that I think is being honored by flying the flag at half staff for him.
You know more because you listen to the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 to 9 a.m. weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Clean bill that just had term limits and then technical fixes that would actually make ECUA more efficient and ultimately, hopefully, cheaper for my constituents. But when the bill was filed after the delegation meeting, this procurement language made its way back in. I brought it up to the bill sponsor, Representative Salzman, and asked her to amend it out at the first committee stop it would have been assigned to. 2 days later, the bill is dead, and I have not received an adequate explanation as to why.
So this was yesterday when I was talking to Representative Alex Andrade about the ECUA bill, which Representative Salzman had offered, had gone voted for at the legislative delegation meetings and then got filed. But as you heard, there's some question or controversy surrounding the bill. I've done this entirely out of order. I should have had Michelle Salzman on first since it was her bill. I have Alex on Mondays to give me what's going on in the Capitol, and we got to talking about it. So now I'm making up for that deficiency by talking to herself. Michelle Salzman is a representative from District 1, which is the northern half of Escambia County. Representative, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that I am from the 1st District. We are number one always. So just want to make sure I clear the air on that. Just because we're the north end doesn't mean we're not the best end. So
Fair enough. So help me understand the process here. There was a bill with some things, and then it was limited more, and it was just a couple of technical tweaks and a term limits bill. Mm-hmm. That got approved by the delegation. Then the filed bill had some of the stuff that had been removed about procurement back in it. And then the bill got killed, both you and Doug Broxson, both. So people are kind of curious what's going on here. So tell me, why did all this happen?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd like to prelude all this with, I have always wanted to dive into what's going on with infrastructure in Escambia County, not just with ECUA, but with DOT and others. And so, although I can't write a bill on DOT, I can certainly write a bill for the special district for ECUA and work on trying to make that at least a more transparent process. And so this has been my baby since the inception of, even campaigning when I was knocking, thousands of doors and folks were telling me that they had issues, whether it be as a vendor or as a business owner or just as a constituent, a regular citizen in the community. And the whole thing, when the grand jury report came public, right as I was elected, I felt obligated to do something on that. And I was told, local bills, special acts are very convoluted. They require a lot of hard work, and oftentimes it's some of the most controversial, and it creates rifts in the community. So, maybe I should not do anything with that. Just sit back and give it a session before I do anything, or maybe a first term before I do anything. And I just didn't feel like that was the right thing to do. I felt like we should start the process. And one of the things that they teach you in Tallahassee, every week we go to training, and every training they say, don't marry your bills. And what does that even mean? Marry your bills. Well, it means don't get so connected to your bill that when you don't feel comfortable with it anymore, that you feel like you have to keep it. It's okay to withdraw it, let it go, and start over. So during this process, it was pretty tough, the grand jury report had a lot of things in there they recommended. And when I first had met with, the Public Service Commission and the CFO, Jimmy Petronis, and his staff, and the constitutional experts at the Capitol that help write local bills. We put a big draft together that covered all the bases, and it certainly wasn't something that we were likely to use because it put the county commissioners overseeing the utility authority, and so you have elected officials overseeing other elected officials, right. And constitutional officers, and it was really, and it is a mess across the state, which is what I learned early on. This special district conversation has been a very big pill to swallow for a lot of people, and it's created a lot of issues. Usually you pay more in taxes because you have the same staff doing the same thing just in a different department because they're under the special authority. It's just a lot of stuff. So in this case, I just found that there were a lot of things that were possibly going to be wrong as far as how we would make this work and in a short period of time, and that was actually something that Representative Andrade had said early on, we can't rush into this. We got to be careful. You don't want to write bad law.
That's why the mostly clean, just the term limits part was what got worked down to for the legislative delegation meeting, right? Which all makes sense to me reforming a big organization is a challenge, and that's why you went to the narrow version of the bill. Why did it get back to the wider version of the bill, including the procurement stuff that wasn't part of the, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think procurement was part of the grand jury report. Why did that get added back in?
Yes. It was a part of it. Okay. Procurement is the biggest thing. But it wasn't that part. That's two sentences that were added in. The wrong subparagraph was added back in. What went really wrong, and it wasn't the wrong bill filed. I mean, that started the big process. So they went back and forth with the draft and draft, draft, draft. But at the very end of it, the last few weeks before the delegation meeting, we allowed ECUA staff and board members to review and recommend changes that they would like to see in the bill. Because, right. You know, they're the ones that operate under this law all day. You know, so they said, well, we have this issue with this component because the law says this, but can we catch up with that? And then whenever we let people go, we have this problem because our special act says this, but our handbook says that. Can we change that? So there was a lot of small tweaks that I considered and that the delegation didn't consider to be big, just small technical changes in the language. So when we submitted those, what we considered technical changes in the language on top of the term limits, that was the bill the delegation voted on. So when the bill draft was finally published, it was approved and published. The wrong draft, the wrong version of it, just that one subparagraph was added in instead of a different one that was supposed to be a technical thing. Representative Andrade caught it immediately. He said, hey, he texted me, said, oh my gosh, why is procurement in there? And I said, what are you doing? Wow, hold on a minute. That's not supposed to be in there. Are you sure? And of course, he sends me a picture of the bill. And I said, that was absolutely never intentional. What would you like for me to do? You want me to withdraw the bill? Do you want me to amend the bill? What is your recommendation? And he said, I'd like to see an amendment. So, of course, then I call Doug Broxson, who is the chair of the delegation, and, you know, we kind of talk through it, and he says, okay, well, amend is fine, you know. And then we go back, and I meet with immediately bill drafting to find out what that looks like, what's the process, because we're on a time crunch. You know, you only have a little bit of time left before session, which starts on Monday now. And then I met with the constitutional experts that are assigned to local bills in Tallahassee, and I said, what do we do here? You know, should I withdraw the bill? Should I amend the bill? And then he comes in. I said, let's have a meeting. He comes in my office with a stack of paperwork. He says, Representative, I haven't brought this to you yet because your bill has not been put on the agenda yet, but we have all of these issues. And it was literally pages of complications that were created with the minor changes we thought were minor changes from ECUA staff and attorneys, you know, from this to that, you know, the things that would make them operationally more efficient, as well as possibly save taxpayers money because they're not having to do
Were those issues related to the improperly re-included procurement provision, or
no.
Were they related
nope.
to
nope.
Totally other things
separate.
In the bill?
Totally separate stuff that was going to be challenged. So basically, when you do a special act, you have to do a public notice. And the public notice that we did included term limits, procurement, and something else I don't recall. But because all those changes were made, even though we thought they weren't significant, they apparently were. The change in the name of the handbook. So he hands me and I think I posted it in one of the forums, a copy of all of the pages of things that they said. So they challenged it. They said, your bill is not going to be constitutionally sound because you didn't do proper public notice.
And because of all of these, and because of all of these other issues that came. Okay, so that's a more fleshed out version of the behind the scenes process. Which is what I was curious to hear.
Yeah.
Because at first, just adding back in a provision could be an oversight, you know. But it looks like a problem. But then, why not just amend it out? And that's the other reason why. So okay, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm willing.
Yeah.
Hey, hang on for just a second, Michelle. I'm super late to get a traffic break in here, but I want to get Davis on with traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and just quickly, you do have delays on Garcon Point Bridge. Very delayed actually going northbound. This is stemming from the toll plaza, which is still freeze reduced to one lane, but the rest of Avalon is checking in clear. But we are also seeing massive delays at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, backed up at East Sunset Avenue. I'm Davis Allen with you, traffic on the fives.
All right, we're almost totally out of time, but I did want to give you just one more minute to kind of future cast for us a little bit. I know there's been talk about you requesting an audit of ECUA. Do you plan to have an audit?
Yes.
We've only got about a minute, but do you plan to bring an
sure.
audit, and do you plan to bring back some version of the ECUA reform bill, including term limits, or, you know, what's your kind of future plan?
So really quick, I did go ahead and post the proper public notice on Thursday. It published in the News Journal. So if a representative from our delegation really wanted that bill to move forward and wanted to work out all the tweaks and the constitutional issues that might be present, the bill can be transferred over and can still be filed. So that I made sure that I did. I checked all the boxes in case Representative Andrade really wanted to move forward. I want to withdraw the bill. I'm done at this point, but I will be bringing the bill back. I just want to wait until we have some other information. We luckily have a great state partner that is looking into all the special districts across the state that include water and is going to provide recommendations to us before the end of session on what it looks like we should be doing across the state, of course, to include ECUA.
Are you requesting an audit?
Oh, I did it. Okay. I requested that immediately when I came to Tallahassee. It's been in the works for some time now. I was partnering with the chief financial officer and then moved over and started a partnership with the joint delegation request with Senator Broxson and myself to do a special audit. Like what you see Gulf Breeze, that is exactly the audit that we're looking at doing for ECUA. That audit's going to take some time.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take some time. We're still moving, yeah.
If our experience in Gulf Breeze is any indicator in the size and scope of ECUA's operations, and there's a lot of things to get into in that, so I'd be curious. I'm curious to see how that turns out as well. Michelle Salzman, she is our state representative for District 1, the north end of Escambia County. That's why I wanted to have you on. And again, my apologies for talking first about your bill to somebody else. That's usually not the order like to do things. I really want to talk about the walking bill for child safety with you, but we'll get to that some other time. I'm sure that'll be a big discussion piece this session. Michelle Salzman, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
6:50 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. National average for a gallon of gas, 264. Florida average, 261. The highs in Linden, California at 449. The lows in Houston, Texas at $1.75. In Navarre, locally at 255 at the Walmart East. Same price at the Walmart West, 265 up 87. In Gulf Breeze, 255 in Tiger Point, 252 at the foot of the Garson Point Bridge. In Milton, 249 at the CEFCO, 249 in Pea Ridge at the Walmart, 259 coming out of Pace, getting over onto the Causeway into Pensacola. Same price almost everywhere except at the Walmart on the south side of 9 Mile, 255, 254 in front of the Walmart on US 29 at the Murphy Station, 254 coming in from the southwest side at the Murphy there in front of the Walmart on Navy, and 251 at the Navy Exchange this morning. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
A series of hearings on last month's deadly attack at the U.S. Capitol kicks off today.
A congressional panel will hear from Washington's police chief and three who resigned after the attack. The former sergeant at arms for the House and Senate, speaking publicly for the first time, and former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund.
That's NBC's Tracy Potts. A New York assemblyman says Governor Andrew Cuomo should be impeached over the nursing home scandal. Queens Democrat Ron Kim says state officials intentionally hid the number of coronavirus deaths in nursing homes from the federal government last year. And Andrew, this story is for you because I know you enjoy these kinds of stories.
Oh, no.
Jeep being asked to change the name of one of its most popular models. Principal chief of the Cherokee Nation telling Car and Driver magazine it's time to retire the Jeep Cherokee from the automaker's lineup.
Why do you do this to me?
It's enjoyable.
See, the implication that you all didn't even know how evil you all really are. That's what drives me crazy.
Hoskin Jr., he says, the brand name is likely well-intended, but having it on the side of a car does not honor the tribe.
I'm not rising to your bait this morning. I'm not doing it.
You're not?
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
All right.
Nope. Mark Jacobs, thank you for your news update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
So here's a story I unfortunately just did not mention yesterday, but I'm going to mention it to you today. So local guy, Trent Richardson, he's back to playing professional football. You may remember he was a star here at Escambia High School, then went to Alabama, was a star there, was drafted third overall, didn't really work out that well in the NFL. Then he crossed the border, he went to Canada, then came back, played in the AAF for the Birmingham Iron. Well, now at 30 years old, he's crossing the border again, but this time south of the border. He's playing in the Liga Football Americana de Mexico.
Mark Jacobs' reaction to your
speaking
Spanish.
He's playing for the Caldillo de Chihuahua.
Mark, he's applauding you in the other room. His head popped up over there like a gopher.
I took 11 years of Spanish, so I vaguely know Spanish, but please don't test me that much. That was
11 years. I won't press on this.
Went to school and had Spanish along the way. But yes, he's back to playing professional football, which made me wonder what is bringing him to Mexico. But it's apparently a rising league down there. It's an opportunity to play professional football. And as always, like I would say for any local, hey, best of luck. Looking forward to seeing you play down there.
Now, is it actual American football or is it football what everybody else in the world calls football? Soccer.
It's American football.
Okay.
That's why the Americano di football.
Americano, okay.
Di football.
Gotcha.
I'm Davis Allen, the quick shot of sports. And now let's go ahead and roll that on over to your traffic on the fives. Taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge, I did receive a report that traffic is moving at about 20 to 30 miles per hour as you are heading through the toll plaza going northbound. But once you get through there, it is checking in clear the rest of the way to I-10. Now, for the front gate of PNAS Pensacola, it is backed up all the way to Palmetto Avenue, almost to Winthrop Avenue, so this is going to be about 20 minutes to get you onto the main gate. I-10, I-110 checking in clear, and I'm seeing some minor delays along I-10 over at the eastbound border of Alabama and Florida. Doesn't appear to be a sign of an accident just yet, but it's over there in front of the Florida welcome sign. If there are any updates from that, I'll be sure to let you know. In the meantime, though, I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So if you want to sell a home, what do you want? You want somebody who's going to be attentive to your needs and make sure to get the home sold quickly for a great price, right? I mean, that's what you want. You want to know you're in capable hands. Well, obviously, you know Christina Leavenworth is that. You know how many people she helps. I mean, when you have that many people having that many homes sold for good prices, often above list price, quickly, even in a difficult market, I mean, you know, she knows how to do it. But you say, well, what about, like, how can I know I'm going to get a good result? Here's what I know. Okay, I mean, she make various guarantees and how fast she. I mean, that's all true. I'm just telling you, I know Christina. I know the people who've used her. You know, I know the people who have had her as their listing agent, as their buying agent, and just in general. And I know she's that kind of capable. Like, none of this is a mystery to me. When she was going out of the news business, there was a part of me that's like, oh, I hope this works. Now looking back, seems like the obvious decision. So if you want somebody that you know you can get good input from, good guidance from, and get your home sold, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158, 658 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Time for future news. That's when Davis Allen and Andrew McKay, we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. What will we find out today in these hearings about the riot and the police involvement? You know, is it going to cast doubt on some of the police failures and or involvement in the riot at Capitol?
I don't think so.
I think there's going to be a lot of questions about failures, but I don't forecast involvement or complicity by the police being a big issue. Will Alex Andrade refile the ECUA bill?
Yes.
I do think so. Yeah, I do think that'll happen. And will this military-wide stand down to root out and look for extremism in the long run be good for the military or harm?
I think it'll be good for them.
Oh, man, I hope it's good, but I really have my concerns about it.